Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest breaking Manchester United news as we get details of another dressing room fallout between Ruben Amorim and a player. Apparently this happened exactly at the same time as he told Garnacho to get another club. He's basically had a go at Ugarte saying you're not the same player that you were when you were at Sporting. Multiple questions to ask. Multiple points of debate to be discussed this morning. We'll get into that. Incredible, actually. Also, Casemiro could be staying. We've got details on Casemiro getting a new deal. Harry Maguire, we've got the latest on that as well. Also, Courtois talking about Lemens. What's going on with Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho, if we've got time. But I think this is going to take the vast majority of the first few minutes of the show. This was last night. I thought it was a bit of a joke. So there is a podcast with The Athletic called Talk of the Devils. They were doing a show in Cork last night in the international break. And it came out on stage from Laurie Whitwell, apparently, that he said that Amorim had a go at Manuel Ugarte in the same meeting where he told Garnacho to go about finding a new club. So this was more or less straight after the Europa League final. And he said, quote, "You're not the same player that you were at Sporting." So what we've essentially got here is a manager that has fallen out with Ugarte, doesn't like Mainoo, and is picking Bruno out of position and Casemiro, who we're trying to sell in midfield. That's the story. Now, Savage says straight away, "I don't believe this." What I'm going to say right at the start here is why. We can debate this. We can talk about what it means for the midfield. We can talk about what it means for Amorim. I've seen a lot of people saying Ugarte should have said back to Amorim, "You're the same you were at Sporting. You're not the same manager you were at Sporting either." So, you know, that would have been a good comeback, but probably would have been the end of his Man United career. But what I find a little bit strange about this is that why is it taken from June, July, August, September, and half of October, 4.5 months to come out? If this information was known at the time, why would you sit on it to the second international break in October? Why put it out? Like Thomas says, it seems a weird time for it to come out. And where is it come out from? Because when I think about, like, The Athletic, I think they have become, you know, I've seen a lot of United, the Sesco thing was in that. I think they have fell off a little bit in relation to their reporting. I think The Athletic behind a subscription was always considered to be, you know, a little bit elitist, dare I say. But since the sale, they seem to become a little bit clickbait. And this sort of feeds into that. You know, I don't see their journalists around Man United as a Prathurst or someone like that. And yet this just feels this like the sort of thing that would come out from him. It's 4 months late. It's a terrible time for it to come out. You know, I think it's good to go out doing live shows. We've done them in Dublin as well. But it just seems a little bit like, let's keep this back for that audience. And you know it's going to come out. It's very provocative. Why has it taken so long to come out? Has to be the question. And where has it come from? And I would suspect, you know, in fairness to Laurie Whitwell, if he has said this, I don't think he's the sort of person to make it up. It was only yesterday I was talking about how he messaged Turki Alashake about the deal. So obviously he has got good connections. So who has told him this? That he is confident that he can say it as fact and even put the quote out? And again, you sort of look at it and you go, there is a player in that room who is giving that information out to a journalist who isn't Manuel Ugarte and who isn't Garnacho. So, you know, you start to take your pick again and you start to think, I guarantee I can get that down to 5 as to where it's come from. And I guarantee there's a very high chance they've got a British passport, as per usual, because they just can't keep their gob shut. And that's the problem. I mean, I don't dispute that this might have happened, and I think I want to talk about that. I think I do. But I've got me Yeti, keep your coffee warm. I'm ready for this morning. You know, I made this coffee half an hour ago, and it's still hot. I've never had one of these in my life. I feel like I've invented water. Yeah, I'm well happy. It's still hot half an hour later. I mean, that's the whole point of it. I think that it is not... The first thing that I just wanted to get off my chest was that, yes, we can talk about Manuel Ugarte, Amorim, the midfield, and what a bloody mess it is, because I think that exposes a big, big point. But again, that's been given to Whitwell by somebody in that room. And I want to know, I don't want to know, I question why it's taken so long to come out, why it's been sat on for so long. Because if it's been sat on for 4 months, you would question the journalist and say, why have you waited for that? You know it's a bomb waiting to go off. Why have you waited? That's a bit anti-United to do that. Like, you've waited for a time to put that out there to cause trouble 4 days before a game against Liverpool. You know, it's a bit of an arse move. Why have you waited till now? And if you've only just found out that information, who's giving you that information now? So it's just the timing of it's really shit, I think. And whoever's given the information is obviously, well, I nearly said the name there. Anyway, I don't know it's that person. I just would love one day to go, I guarantee you it's that person or that person, because there's just so much we can't say and so much we know. I just fucking know. I just know, but I can't say it. I'll end up in court. But I just know. I fucking know. Over the years, I just know. You know, we've been in this situation so many times over the years with this type of a story. You can easily narrow it down to four or five just based on who was at the club at the same time. And this was happening 3 or 4 years ago. So you can easily cross off. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. Always the same people. But look, Ronan says Ugarte is useless. I think this is interesting. It's out in the ether now. It's out there. So what are your thoughts? It is out there. So I think that the people who are criticising Amorim are probably hypocrites. Not necessarily hypocrites, but probably hypocrites. Because I see people saying Amorim needs to call these players out. And then when he calls them out, and he hasn't done it publicly, that's in a dressing room. That's not for our consumption. So I have sympathy for Amorim, because as a manager, you have every right in an enclosed environment to have a pop at your players. And I think this has took 4 months to come out. Could it be Maynou? I'd never thought it could be Maynou, Lynette. So Maynou's not on my list, but, you know, I don't think it's Maynou. So I have sympathy for Amorim, because most of us want Amorim to get onto these players. And when he gets onto these players in a private environment that we're not meant to know about, but it gets leaked, people are going, what's Amorim on about? Amorim hasn't just gone and done an interview saying Ugarte's a bag of shit. Amorim's done that 4 months ago and somebody's leaked it. He absolutely has got a right to sit in a dressing room in a private environment and go, get out of my club, you're not the player I thought you were. I mean, maybe he's saying, you're not the player you were at Sporting, saying, why aren't you the player you were at Sporting? Why aren't you delivering what you can do? You're not at the level you should be. If I'm managing Manchester United 10 years ago, and I've got Wayne Rooney, and I'm going, you're not the player you used to be, what's going on? What's wrong with that? So I don't have a massive problem with Amorim having a pop at Ugarte, because Ugarte can't even start for Uruguay at the moment. He's not the player we thought we were getting, and he's not the player he was last season. I mean, I'm not saying his debut season was great, but I don't think it was as bad as some people think. I disagree with people saying Ugarte is shit, because I think he had some good games last season and he had some bad games last season, and this is the season he needs to kick on. And if this was said in the summer, right before the, you know, summer break, maybe Amorim said it to Ugarte because he wants him to be that player. And before he goes on his holidays, he puts it in his head that you're not the player you were. You need to come back better. I've got a problem with that. And I'm pretty sure that was the message. I'm pretty sure that if this is true, which I suspect it is, this was actually said before everybody broke up and went on their summer holidays. So, you know, dropping that on the toes of a player is probably well-timed. So I haven't got a problem with what Ruben Amorim is saying there at all. Where I think you could debate it is that the big thing that jumps out at me is, if Maynou was not being picked at the end of last season and Amorim was unhappy with Ugarte at the end of last season, who at the football club didn't figure out, including the manager himself, that we needed desperately, urgently to buy a midfielder. Because it was obvious he didn't like Mainoo. It's obvious now that he didn't like Ugarte. And it's obvious that Casemiro and Bruno cannot be your starting midfield in 2025. So the big question to me is, what level of fuck-up did we conduct over the summer if we knew going into the summer he doesn't rate Mainoo, and we knew going into the summer he's just balled out Ugarte in the dressing room at the end of last season? You know he's not happy with Ugarte and Mainoo. You know Casemiro is basically dusted and Bruno's not a midfielder. Why have we not gone and bought a midfielder this summer? I just think it compounds that. That was the instantaneous thought I had beyond here we go with another drama. Was like, so if he didn't rate Ugarte at the end of last season and he didn't rate Mainoo at the end of last season, how the bloody hell have we gone into a season with Ugarte, Mainoo, Casemiro and Bruno as our midfield? And that's what stuns me. Because the evidence around Mainoo is very, very clear. And now we've got this around Ugarte. And also we've got the evidence that he's been picking Casemiro and Bruno over Ugarte this season. So he clearly doesn't rate Ugarte. He clearly doesn't rate Mainoo. And we're going into a season with Casemiro and Bruno, whose combined age is probably 67. I mean that doesn't matter massively. But I just think it's just another strand of evidence of how incompetent we have been around the midfield. You've got a manager that clearly doesn't like 50% of his midfield, and then the other half is past it and out of position. And you just think, you know, that belabor thing really does come home to roost more now than ever. Do you have any criticism of Amrim having a go at Ugarte? Look, I'd like him to be having a go at Dalot. You know, I'm not in the room. I don't know what happened. All I know is that Garnacho, we knew about that. We now know Ugarte. Is there another one that's coming out next week? Or was it just Ugarte and Garnacho? You know, in that room where he basically debriefed the season, you're telling me in that room he only had a go at Garnacho and Ugarte? I'd have a problem with that. But I don't know. I don't know because I didn't know about this Ugarte thing until a few hours ago. We knew about the Garnacho thing in June. But if you're telling me Amrim was in that room losing his shit and he lost his shit at Garnacho and Ugarte, I want to know who else. And if he didn't have a pop at anybody else, the guy is out of his depth. I'm sorry. You know, he hasn't done his homework, because let me get this right. This happened a few days after the Europa League final. I think it actually might have happened after the Europa League final or on the Saturday. I think it happened. I think we had a game after the Europa League final, didn't we? I think we had Villa. So yeah, I think it happened at Carrington a couple of days after the Europa League final, if I remember correctly. So we're just about to finish 15th in the league. We've just bottled a final we didn't turn up in. You're telling me that Amrim's big idea was to have a go at Garnacho and Ugarte? I mean, come on. Mate, you can have a go at Ugarte. You can have a go at Garnacho. But there's about 7 or 8 other players that you need to go in on there. I mean, I'd be saying to Bruno, where's your head been for the last 2 weeks since the Saudi offer? You know, what about, I mean, Luke Shaw? Fucking Costa's the final. Anana? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I don't know on that. That's the only thing I would say negative, is that you can't just sit in the room at the end of the season and have a go at Ugarte and Garnacho. There better been a few other players who got the riot act as well, especially the more experienced players. I mean, Garnacho's still at that point 20-21, and Ugarte's in his first season at the club. So, you know, I think there's a few other people in there that would need a bollocking as well. But, yeah, like Leek Shaw. Hey, I ain't saying nothing. Patrick Lynch says, Sir Alex kicked a boot at Beckham, gave other players the hairdryer, etc. These things happen in the dressing room. This is a problem because it draws attention to anything but the football yet again, says Patrick. Yeah, as I said, Patrick, I think the overarching thing for me is that, you know, in many ways, I feel like Amrim is on a hiding to nothing. And it feels like, oh, here we go. The international break is over. it's time to ramp the pressure up on Amrin again. And it's a bit surprising where it's coming from, and it's very surprising how long it's been sat upon, and it's very disappointing where it's come from, but you have to take it on face value that that clearly has been said. We can argue about whether it should have been said to other players. We can argue about where it's come from and why it's come out so late. But the reality is, it is destabilising. It is very unfair on Ruben Amrin, in fairness, because it wasn't a public forum and somebody's leaked it out. And I don't know why it's coming out now. But there are unhappy people in that dressing room now. Like, there are. There are blame shifters who are getting a bit nervous about getting the blame. There are people who aren't happy because, you know, they want to be, you know, playing football. And there are people who, you know, want to deflect any responsibility themselves so that they can show themselves in a good light. I mean, we've got players. You talk about Luke Shaw. He wants to go to the World Cup. Like, if you can't see that, I don't know where you've been for the last few years. Luke Shaw wants to go to the World Cup. Absolutely wants to go to the World Cup. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I'm allowed to say this. I don't. It's 10:15 on the 15th of the 10th. That's weird. I just spotted that. It's 10:15 on the 15th of the 10th. If it was 2015, no, that wouldn't work. It'd have to be 10:15. That was never going to work. I was never going to get the hat trick. It's 10:15 on the 15th of the 10th. Boom. That's the story. Let's just enjoy it for the next few seconds because it won't happen again this year. 16:11. It's 10:16 now. No, look, just to go back to that, just because you're, you know, people will think, oh, it could be Mainoo, it could be Ugarte, it could be, you know, someone who's not getting any game time. It could be a first team player that feels like they're under pressure and wants to deflect away from themselves. But I am allowed to say it. It's a miracle. It's a miracle, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. For the last 2 years, Luke Shaw can't stay fit. And now, all of pre-season and all of this season and all of the end of last season, he's been fit for 6 months. He's basically been fit since May. And it's now the middle of October. Praise the Lord. How has this happened? What magical fitness cure has he found? Is it yoga? Is it, you know, non-impact training? Is it ice baths? Or is it a World Cup year? We'll leave it there. We shouldn't know what happens in the dressing room. Those things should stay private. He probably wanted a midfielder but wasn't backed by Ineos. I think 100% on that, John. It's still hot. No, not saying Ugarte, as it hasn't come from him, but these pampered babies in the youth need to toughen up and take criticism. Sir Alex had the hairdryer as well, says Martin Saunders. And Slazy says, maybe this is his stance against player power. You whine, you're out. Maybe Casemiro and Bruno are the only professionals in the midfield, says Slazy. What's your thoughts on Hjulmland as a January loan, says Milos. You're not going to get the sporting captain on loan in January. That's my thought on that, I suppose. And JR says, it's a bit against what was released in the summer because weren't he trying to go on loan and we said no? Was that the owners saying to keep him, says JR. And Spill the Tea says, they've got Lita versions of those, life-changing. Aha, aha, aha. Mate, is it something like this? Got a big one as well. I've got a big one and a little one. So you could put like a whole, you could go for a walk with a flask and it will stay warm. Yeah, lovely stuff. Maybe it's Luke Shaw's diet, says Tom G. Something's definitely going right. Anyway, this leads on to the secondary point I wanted to bring in the mail this morning. What are your thoughts on this? Manchester United are considering extending, get ready for this, I need a drink of this, Casemiro's contract beyond this season. However, only if he takes a cut on his massive 375 grand a week salary. United have an option to extend his contract by 12 months until June 27, with Casemiro becoming a key player for Ruben Amorim. I'm starting to get a little bit worried, to be honest with you. I really hope I'm wrong on this. It's not a rant. It's not a negative. It's just an observation. And the great thing about this community is sometimes you can wear your heart on your chest and you can go, I'm right about this. He's bloody wrong. Bruno in the midfield is never going to work. That's not what I'm doing here. This is an observation about a concern I have. When we played Chelsea, I felt he packed in as much experience as he could. The Luke Shaws, the Harry Maguires, the Bruno Fernandes, Casemiro, obviously, Mason Mount, you know, all these experienced players that weren't actually his signings. The Ten Hag issue, basically. My job's in danger. I'm going to use the same set of players that Ten Hag used to get the sack. And it worries me because Ten Hag did this about a year ago, Villa away. Johnny Evans, I think Maguire might have played. He just went for a load of experienced players. Probably the same players that sacked Ollie in some ways. So I'm a little bit concerned about Amorim in the sense that it wouldn't surprise me if he was thinking about extending Casemiro, because over this international break, we've heard that he's trying to extend Harry Maguire. We're also hearing that Cunha's on the bench on Sunday and Mason Mount is starting. And I'm like, that's fine. You pick the team. You're the guy. But I'm just starting to get that little bit of reservation in my stomach that this guy doesn't have a long-term plan. He's just a short-term plan. And he's just surrounding himself with these players that, realistically, if you've studied Man United, they've already let previous managers down. You know, they've already been part of a sacking. And you are going, I like these guys. I like these guys. You know, they're leaders. Leaders in what? What are they leaders in? And, you know, Casemiro's not going to be the player he was in the first season ever again. And he's never going to be the player he was at Real Madrid ever again. I think it's fantastic that he's got in the Brazil side, but he has not got the legs for the Premier League. He just hasn't got the legs for the Premier League. Nobody's going to convince me of that. Every game, there is a tackle that is so late, it belongs in the bloody next week's fixture. It's like, it's so late. And we've got, you know, I ain't talking about Bruno in the midfield. I'm not talking about bloody Delo at left wing back and Luke Shaw. It's an observation. And it's a concerning one that we're meant to be rebuilding. And here we are again. I just, it doesn't matter who the manager is. There is just this constant repetition of, like, Man City are moving on Bernardo Silva this summer. Last summer, De Bruyne, Ederson. There are others. One of the most successful teams in Premier League history moves players on in their early 30s who are at the top of their game. Man United, we give new contracts to seasoned failures. It's just logic. It's just brain, isn't it? If Man City are moving players on who are successful when they're hitting their 30s and Man United are extending players who aren't successful in their 30s, it's pretty obvious what your trajectory is going to be. So no, I am very much... I don't want to see Casemiro starting games for Man United anymore, let alone give him a new contract. But to be honest with you, I think the person with the brains in this is Casemiro. I mean, I think some people call him Casemiro, which is a bit unfair. I do think Casemiro is a very, very professional player and I do like him. But I think he's always been running that contract down and there's no way he will sign a new contract at United on a pay cut. No way. Man United have tried to sell him for 2 years. I don't think he's going to go, oh yeah, I'll take a pay cut. He's going to run that contract down and he's going to go MLS or Saudi and he'll be free and he'll be on the same wage as he is here. So yeah, he'll be moving on. But I'm just a bit concerned about it, you know? That is still hot. My concern is we're sat here in a year's time looking Casemiro's excited face on the pitch as he's looking for his next red card, says Nick P. And Yozza says, why is every week at this club like an episode of Dream Team? And Rico says, could I get a good look about a good look shout out, please? I've got to get a medical test this afternoon. Haven't slept and extremely anxious. I'm shaking because I'm nervous, says Rico. You know what? I'm glad I reread that. I thought you said you had a medical exam, which in some ways you do. But I thought it was like a test. So I was going to say good luck. But no, I had a bad night's sleep last night. And that's got nothing to do with it, I've just realised. But anyway, fundamentally, I think all of us say, you know, hope it goes well for you this afternoon, Rico. And worrying times, but think positive thoughts and, you know, let us know what happens with it later on. But yeah, our thoughts and, you know, all that are with you, of course. Stay strong. Thank you very much for that. I've done that one as well. Who can this team be built around, says Jabbo. I think this is a great point. I think this is a great point because I'm doing my FC26 Man United career mode, which you can check out on my channel. And the first thing I did when I took the Man United job was say, God, this is just not a squad. I don't like this squad. It just doesn't feel like a squad, even though it's a big squad. And I changed that with five or six players straight away. And I feel that that's, you know, there's the start, there's the basics there. There's the foundations, I suppose, of a start of a decent squad. But it needs a hell of a lot of work. You've got to build that team around people like Yoro, De Ligt, Lemens, Dorgu, Cunha, Mbeumo, Ahmad, Sesko. You know, they're the players to build around. We're not building... With all due respect, like, Casemiro is one of the greatest holding midfielders that have played the game. Bruno's our best player, but you're not building a team around them. There's no point building a team around them. They're on the decline. They're not going to be here in 3 years. Might not be here in 12 months. Same with Harry Maguire, same with Luke Shaw. There's just no point building around them. And that's what I'm talking about from an observational point. It feels like we are. There's no point building around Dalot. How old is Dalot now? Like, Dalot to me still plays like he's 20. You know, he still plays like a player that maybe he'll be a good player at some point. He's 27 this year. I like Dalot. I think he's got a great attitude. But I look at Dalot and go, I don't see any difference to when you were 21 to 27, 26. You're still a player that could be a good right back, but hasn't transcended to that consistency and level. So we can't build teams around these players, but they're the leadership team. That's the leadership team. Can you shout out Spill the Tea YouTube channel? It's great. It says Rob Always United. There we go. Shout out. Liam says, Bruno to Saudi, Casemiro leaving, Ugarte leaving, Mainu leaving, Collier left. We need five midfielders, a left and right wing back and a defender. We're cooked. I mean, Liam, that's sort of like what Jabbo was saying. Who can we build this team around? The midfield, regardless of what you think about this story coming out about Ugarte in the dressing room, this midfield is absolutely, as you say, to steal your words, cooked. It makes no logical sense. You buy two number 10s when you've already got three, and you absolutely overdo your, oversubscribe your number 10 position. And then your midfield is basically nobody. He doesn't like Mainu. He doesn't like Ugarte. He doesn't, you know, Casemiro's past it, and Bruno's not a midfielder, and Collier's on loan. So we've literally, most good teams, if you look at like, if you look at, let's say, Newcastle, what's Newcastle's midfield now? Jacob Ramsey, Lewis Miley, Willock, Tonali, Joel Linton, Bruno Guimaraes. They've got six midfielders at Newcastle. Spurs, God. Palinha, Saar, Bentancur, Bergvall, Kulusevski plays in there as well. Madison plays in there as well. I think Basuma's still there. Yeah, I mean, this is... Forget it. I'm not talking about Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal. I'm talking about, you know, teams that we're meant to be competing with. Newcastle, Spurs, Villa. And they've got multiple options in their midfield. And you could argue that our midfield is nothing. In 12 months, it's nothing. Like, there is nothing there. We're basically going to have to do what I've never praised anybody before, and I can't believe I did it about a Liverpool manager. Still cannot believe that Jurgen Klopp built a midfield in 2 months. Like, he literally went and bought McAllister, Gravenberch and Szoboszlai in one summer. That I've never seen anybody do that. And we're going to have to do that next summer. We're going to have to buy a brand new midfield, and it's going to have to work straight away. So I find that massively concerning, and it does go back to the summer, and there are some people in our fan base that just do not want to acknowledge it at all, because they go, oh, we should have bought a midfielder, Stand. But tell me I'm wrong. Tell me we haven't messed up massively with the midfield. The place where games are won and lost, the engine room of the team, and we've completely and utterly messed up. Absolutely messed up. It's so obvious that we've messed up in that position. And we see people are debating whether we should get Belaiba, whether we should get Wharton, whether we should get Anderson. We need to get two of them. You could argue we need to get three of them. Our midfield's a joke. Now, look, hopefully people like Kone and maybe some others from the youth can come through, but we've not really seen Amorim developing youth yet either. Still hot. Shaz says, we demand changes yet get dressing room leaks, old players' contracts renewed, and when things don't go our way, we sack the manager and do a reset. I wonder where the problem is. It's an absolute shambles. Look, Shashwat, the only way this club is getting saved is by a sale. This is... it's baffling to me why we're still getting leaks. It's baffling to me why we're still contemplating renewing contracts of old players. You know, we're still a mid-table club. We're still massively inconsistent. It's still a roller coaster. It's still going to be a roller coaster. Like, the direction of the club is not changing. It isn't changing. We want it to change, but it's not changing. The only way this changes is with a complete and utter hard reset. And, you know, I don't know that the UAE... I was thinking yesterday, I'll put my hands on my heart. I was like, you know, is this UAE consortium going to come to anything? Is it actually a good thing for United? Who are the ex-players they're talking about as ambassadors? Because if it's Rio, which it probably is because he lives out there now, I'm sort of like, oh, God. Rio Ferdinand on the board of Man United, for God's sake. You know, it's like... But it would be better than what we've got now. But, you know, I'm sort of like, oh, I just don't know anymore. You can't cut the apron strings on a club that you love, but I've got no idea what's coming next. And I just wish there was a common sense Man United supporting billionaire out there who spoke like you lot. That's what I wish, because we desperately need that. We need that hard reset. 100%. It might make you feel better, it might make you feel worse, but this is what Fabrizio Romano had to say. I've spoken to you about the Casemiro update. This was from Fabrizio Romano about Harry Maguire. For Maguire's contract to be extended, both parties need to find a resolution. Maguire would need to reduce his salary. There are no current negotiations taking place. But, you know, again, it's another player that, you know, realistically, for me, I think Harry Maguire has been an interesting player at Manchester United. I wouldn't call him a flop, but I wouldn't call him a rip-roaring success at £80 million. He's 33 this season. And he ain't going to get any quicker. I think with Maguire, it gets to a point as to is it just a Johnny Evans scenario, and how did that work? I mean, apparently it was great having Johnny Evans around, and I really like Johnny Evans, but what did it actually do? Like, we finished 15th last year. Like, it's all right. There seems to be this assumption in the United wall corridors of power that we need these leaders. But nobody actually analyses what these leaders bring. Like, we brought Ronaldo back and they chewed him up and spat him out. Probably be the best leader we could have had. Oh, it's great to have Johnny Evans around. It's great to have Harry around. It's great to have Tom Heaton around. But look at the results. Look at the league position. Does it actually correlate to better performance? Does it actually deliver consistency? No. So they sell it as, oh, yeah, it's great to keep these leaders around. But actually, what are the results on the pitch? What is it they're actually delivering? Now, you know, Johnny Evans and Harry Maguire might be saying the right things, but are the players listening to it? And I think that we sort of got locked into this. And I go back to what I said a few minutes ago. If Man City are letting Kevin De Bruyne go, and how old's Kevin De Bruyne? Like, Harry Maguire is going to be 33 this year. And, you know, he's had a mixed bag Manchester United career. Kevin De Bruyne is a year older. He's just turned 34. Probably one of the greatest midfielders to play in the Premier League. You can't get a more blueprint of a leader and a role model. And they move him on. They move him on. And they move players on all the time. Who's the leader at Man City? It's probably Rodri, isn't it? Who's not even 30 yet. So I don't know what it is about Man United that they think they need to keep average players in their 30s around as leaders. I understand why we kept Ryan Giggs and Paul Scholes around for so long. Even someone like Michael Carrick, but this whole attitude doesn't work. It doesn't work. They need to move them on and build properly. And I don't know how that's going to happen at United, because we're negotiating with players we should be moving on. We're not bringing in midfielders when it's bloody obvious we needed them. And then again, still hot. I'm not that surprised, really, because I think when you look at it, I think I said it to you last night, I'm expecting a roller coaster season, and a lot of that comes down to this lack of direction and vision. How many cleaners are we going to sack to buy a midfielder, says Liam. And Thomas says, Mark, these leaks aren't as bad as the search for our new manager at Rangers. 49ers pulled transfer budget from Gerrard at the 11th hour. B-Tech Glazers, says Thomas. Apparently you've been... Well, look, talking about Rangers, I've got to say, I don't know whether it's a positive for you, Thomas, but I did read this morning that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been linked to Rangers, which, I mean, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, I'd like to see it. Jeff Evans says, Ranić said open heart surgery over 3 years ago and we've had an appendectomy. Glazers out, or are we destined for mediocrity? Thanks for your work. Thank you, Jeff. And Sarvesh says, in Ben Jacobs' interview last week, he said to Beth that United bought three forwards because the data team said so, not the manager. Maybe defenders next if the data team says we concede more. Look, I'm with Scholesy on this. I don't think that stats, AI and data team understand what a Man United is. I don't think you can chuck that into, you know, AI and say, give me a quintessential 10 Man United players that we should sign, because they'll just come up with good players. They won't come up with players that, you know, maybe have a mentality or anything like that. Data team. I mean, if there's one thing that we have at Manchester United that other people can't buy, it's a history. It's an identity. You know, it's a soul. And a data team can't put that in their data. It's not a filter. It isn't a filter. So if we're following a fucking data team, then we're already dead. Because there's not one of you, when we sat there in last February, March, April, May, June, July, August, that said, let's leave the midfield alone. Let's leave the wide positions alone. The data points towards getting as many strikers, attackers in as we can. No, nobody. Nobody was saying that. Absolutely nobody. From February to the closure of the window, consistently, we need a goalkeeper, we need a right wing back, we need a midfielder. It was those three positions. I don't even give them credit for the goalkeeper because that was panic. We got the right goalkeeper, but it was panic at the end. But I have never heard that before. So, you know, that just shows I didn't watch all of that interview. But it's almost like if we score more goals,
we'll win more games. Buy as many strikers and number 10s as we can. You know, forget the midfield. If we score, the data says, if we score 3 goals and the opposition score 2, we win 3-2. So, spend all the money on people who score goals. So, Mbeumo, Sesko and Cunha, forget the midfield. But we don't need anybody in the midfield. We just need goals, goals, goals. That's what the data is saying. I've looked at the league table. We don't have a very high goal difference. So, if we can score 20 more goals, we'll have 12 more points, and that should be enough. Yeah.
And I'm like, it's so thick. It's laughable. It is laughable because you can't just buy Mbeumo, Cunha and Sesko and go, they scored these amount of goals and we're going to get these goals if you don't have a midfield that feeds them. And that is why when I watched England last night, without Bellingham and Foden, they're better. Do you know why they're better? Because they're finally getting the best out of Harry Kane. I've watched Harry Kane play for England so many years in so many tournaments, and I say drop him because Harry Kane wants to drop into the midfield. But when he's got Foden and Bellingham there, they're all just going to get in each other's way. Last night, you've got Morgan Rodgers who wants to run past the striker, and Harry Kane can drop in. And he's got wide players that want to run past him, and it works. The system works. When I look at PSG, they had a front three of Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, and they never got near a Champions League. Last year, without any of them, they coasted it because they play as a team in a system. You can shove your data up your arse. Buying forwards to score more goals is like PSG buying Neymar, Messi and Mbappe. That's not how football works. It's like England picking Foden and Bellingham because they're two of the best players. It's not how football works. You have to build a rhythm. You have to build a team. And you know what? I'm really happy with Sesko. It had to be done. I'm really happy with Cunha and I'm really happy with Mbeumo. But ultimately, as much as I like all three, and I can't answer the question of which one I wouldn't get, we shouldn't have got one of them to get a midfielder. If that was the budget, we shouldn't have done that. And I don't know, you know, is anyone here prepared to say that? I'll say it. I'm not telling you which one I wouldn't buy because I like all three. But if that was the budget, we shouldn't have got one of them. I'm not happy about that because I like all three. But come on, if that was the budget, one of those players shouldn't have been bought and a midfielder should have been. And that's a fuck up. I'm sorry. That is a cock up of massive proportions. So whoever made that. I mean, look, and also, Cunha's not going to start at the weekend. Cunha didn't start against Sunderland. So that's a £62 million player that Amrim's not even starting him. He's playing Mason Mount. So I like Cunha. Cunha's probably my favourite out of the three, so I wouldn't not buy Cunha. But what I'm saying is, it gets even more stupid that we bought three players and spent the budget on three players and didn't buy a midfielder. And then one of those players isn't even a bloody starter. You know, it's madness when you think about it like that. I don't want to be critical. I don't want to be critical of the manager or the team. But you can only, you know, we're not making these decisions. We're not making them. We shouldn't feel guilty for calling it out. Like, what the fucking hell was the plan to spend all our budget on attackers, nothing on the midfield? It's costing us, especially when he doesn't like Ugarte and he doesn't like Mainoo. It becomes even more stupid because, put it like this, Casemiro mistimes a tackle and gets a 3-match ban. Who's playing in the midfield then? Well, it's got to be Ugarte and Maynou, who he doesn't like. So they're hanging the manager out to dry. Dry, really. And die, I suppose. Because it only takes one suspension or injury to Casemiro or Bruno, and he's picking players we know he doesn't even bloody like. I mean, we know now he doesn't like Ugarte, and we already know he doesn't like Maynou. So when we talk about the midfield, it's Bruno and Casemiro, whether we like it or not. And Rhys says it's on the manager. I don't think it is. I don't think it can be on the manager. We know he doesn't rate Maynou, and we know he doesn't rate Ugarte. Do you think he went into the season going, I don't like those two, but I'm more than happy with Casemiro and Bruno. They can play 50 games. Nah, come on. They didn't buy him. They clearly didn't buy him something, did they? Stuart says, where was the transfer plan exactly? I just got a few comments here that came in from Courtois about Lemens, just to end it on a positive. He said, on Lemens playing at Anfield, I'm sure he can do a good job. He has a tough game this weekend, so I hope if he plays, it will go well for him. All the best to him. It's a hard stadium. Maybe I should tell him to clap the home fans when he arrives at the Kop. He says his first game was a flavour of what Man United will get. He's a tall guy. He's not afraid to come on crosses, and he's a kid with personality. He also says it's a hard stadium at Anfield, but I know I've done that bit, haven't I, there as well. I think that was basically it. Yeah, that was basically it. You said you were going to say something about Rashford. He just said, when I reach my maximum potential, that will be the best version of myself. I'll also be happier, and I believe it will be a version that I've already seen and felt before in my life. Yeah, best of luck to him. He's 28 in 2 weeks. So, you know, ain't got that much time. I hope he has a really good season and signs for Barcelona. I've said it before. I don't think Rashford... I think he'll do really well, Rashford, to still be playing high-end football in his early 30s. Because I think he's played a lot of football. He's had some bad injuries, especially the one to his back. And like Wayne Rooney, Michael Owen before him, he's probably played way too much football from a young age. So, you know, time is sort of starting to run out for him. But look, I hope he has a good season. I hope he gets that move to Barcelona and everybody can move on. That's surely what we all want. That reminds me, I don't even know if I can speak about this. What the hell's going on with Jadon Sancho? I just keep seeing weird stuff about Jadon Sancho. Like, all I'm going to say is he is still a Man United player. So when people say he's not our problem, remember it was only a few weeks ago they were talking about extending his contract. I mean, for the love of God, do not extend his contract. Let him go. Let him run the contract down and get rid of him. But United were being linked with extending his contract a few weeks ago. We need to just steer clear of that. And fair play to Aston Villa for actually giving it a go. Liam says, we used to have a donut, now we have a half sandwich. There we go, Liam. I think he's talking about our midfield. Thank you very much for that. Lovely stuff. Gaz says, I've not heard anything. It's probably best that you don't go and start looking for it, really. Was he not already at Spurs, Paratici? Yeah. He's gone back, hasn't he? I'm just having a quick look around. Cool. Okay. Thanks everyone for watching. 8 o'clock show tonight as normal. There's no rubbish international football, so we'll be back at 8 o'clock. We've got a 2 o'clock show for you as well. Fantastic show this morning. Some very interesting comments and conversation as always. Make sure you take care and have a good day. Stay safe. And I'll speak to you all later. Thank you very much for tuning in. And it's still hot. Thanks for watching. Take care.